In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. I think, brothers and sisters, this describes also the way we are in our Christian life. There are many things we don't remember at the first. There are many things that we don't understand. There are many things that we cannot do at the first. But with the grace of God, and with the passage of time, and our effort, and our desire, then we know, and then we remember, and then we are capable. So what the apostles went through at the time of the entry to Jerusalem, where all of these prophecies were being fulfilled, and they knew the prophecies. They were pretty. I mean, the prophecy about the Lord riding into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, that's directly from Zephaniah. They knew this prophecy. And all the other prophecies that were fulfilled, they didn't understand. It didn't occur to them. People who were literate, people who knew the book. That is because there is a powerful, powerful cloud that is over our eyes. And that cloud is because of our sin and because of our human weakness. And Christ came to enlighten us. But it takes time. Now, the apostles, they loved the Lord. They didn't understand what was happening, but later on they would. But then there are many others that were around that said that they loved the Lord, but they were proven to be not true. And those are the ones who cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. It used to only mean that, or I should say, way back when in the Jewish scriptures, Hosanna only had the meaning of asking, save me. But by Jesus' time, the word had changed to be an expression of praise, but it still had its original meaning as well. So if you are saying in praise, save now, you're obviously speaking to God. And what does it mean when you say save now? It means I cannot do this on my own. I am incapable of saving myself. So I'm begging you, O Lord, save me now. And that also means I don't trust myself. I trust you. I trust what you will do. Now let's be honest with ourselves. There's many things that go on in life that we don't know now, but we should know later. There's many things that are confusing in life. Many times it is very difficult for us because we don't see the end result. We can't see the end result because it's at the end and we're not there yet. It might seem silly to say such a thing, but we as a people lose sight that if we call Hosanna to the Son of God, that means we trust. That means we live according to this trust. That means we don't have to understand everything right now. That means we don't have to agree with everything right now. But we live the Christian life with the belief that all will become good. The people that cried Hosanna, they didn't understand that. They were like the seeds that sprout up on the rocky soil. But because it's so shallow, as soon as it sprouts up and there comes to be wind and dryness, they dry up and die. Well, these people, their seeds sprouted on Sunday and they dried up and died on Thursday evening. Because when they said Hosanna, they didn't mean it. Do we mean it? We mean it if we really believe that we cannot be saved without God. Not something that we just say because we say we believe it, but we live according to this way. One of the greatest impediments to our salvation is our own vanity, our own pride. We trust ourselves. And because of our pride also, we indulge ourselves. The whole life of Christ was anti-self-indulgence. So should our life be. You know, there were two acts of worship here in this passage. And there was the children of Israel throwing down palms and strewing clothes in the way and crying out, Hosanna in the highest. And St. John says, the crowd bore witness. He was God. And He was their Savior. What a great act of worship this was. But then, the greater act of worship was what Mary did. There are actually two times the Lord's feet were anointed. This is a different one, Mary. The first, actually a different woman. We don't know the name of the other woman who anointed the Lord's feet sometime before this time. Her brother Lazarus had only been recently raised from the dead. She was filled with great love for Christ because of this, because she loved her brother Lazarus. She also had been saved from a dissolute lifestyle, and she was so glad. So, the Lord said she had done this for His burying. She probably didn't understand at all. She was like everybody else. The prophecies were just bouncing off their ears. They were not seeing that they were being fulfilled as they were living. But why did she anoint His feet? Out of great love and thanksgiving. And what does the spikenard represent? It represents purity. It represents us giving to God our heart. Because that's what the Lord asked for. Give me your heart, He says. That's all He wants. That's all we can give. A few days ago, I spoke about the question, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the proper answer is, nothing and everything. There's nothing that is worth our soul. Nothing that we can do to earn our becoming sons of God. Nothing. Everything that we do, our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But if we give of our hearts, God accepts it. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. And that was Mary's heart when she anointed our Lord's feet. She was giving of herself to Him. This is how we must live. This is the lesson, the contrast that we see today. Between Mary, who loved the Lord and gave of herself and certainly amended her life and changed, and the people who cried out, Hosanna, O Lord, save, but they did not mean it. They were caught up in a moment. And a few moments later, another moment occurred in which they were caught up in that moment. And they said, His blood be on us and our children, and we have no other king but Caesar. Let's not delude ourselves. We are fully capable of being like the people who cried Hosanna. We also are fully capable of being like Mary. The choice is up to us. The difference between those people who cried Hosanna and Mary is honesty, fidelity, desire to follow the Lord, thanksgiving, gratitude, thinking of Christ and not of themselves. That is the difference. And we have to ask ourselves this question every day. Which are we going to be? Are we going to be people who call ourselves Christians? Or are we going to be Christians? Are we going to say, O Lord, save? Or are we going to beg the Lord to save us and live according to how He teaches us to save ourselves? There is a giant contrast today. Which one are we going to be? Just because we say that we're Christian, just because we're baptized, just because we're pravoslavni, that doesn't make us like Mary. What makes us like Mary is to give of ourselves, to give good things, pure things to God. This is the reason why we follow the commandments. I was having a discussion, I think yesterday, in the scriptures many times it talks about God being just, or Joseph was a just man. It talks about God's law, God's commandments. And it's misunderstood today by so many. They think of God's judgments as being those things which punish unrighteousness. No. God's judgments are those things which are good and holy, which we must become. We must become just. The whole idea of justice in our land and all over the world is turned on its ear. It's not the biblical understanding. Justice is to be pure, to be holy, to be good, to be light, to have no darkness in you at all. And these things we don't totally understand now because there is a veil over our eyes. We will someday see. Right now we look through the glass darkly, but soon, clearly. So, if we believe, and if we struggle to give of ourselves to God, this is what Christianity is. We might not always understand why. It might sometimes be bitter and difficult for us to struggle against our passions and to do what is good even though we want to do something else. To struggle to have our thoughts be clean thoughts and good thoughts. To be kind to those who are not kind. To be humble when people are being unfair to us or even cruel to us or even lie about us. We might not understand now, but we will understand later. Truly magnificent things were happening. Our redemption was at hand as the Lord went into Jerusalem. But not the way that people thought it was going to be. Not a king that was going to overcome Rome. No. A king that would be humble and meek and lowly, seated on the colt, the foal of an ass, and would allow himself to be abused by those whom he created. He showed us the way. We must have eyes open to see and ears open to hear this way. The only way to hear and to see is to be like Mary. And that is to bring of ourselves to God, to bring our purity to God, to be good. That's why we follow the commandments, so that we can know God, so that we can know peace, so that we can know holiness. Perhaps we don't completely understand now. But let us be like, let us follow the instructions of Philip. Come and see. Let's do good. Let us struggle to give good to God. Give our hearts to God. And then we will be changed. We don't understand now, but we will understand later. May God help us to be like Mary and not to be like these people who cried Hosanna. Let us cry Hosanna and mean it by giving ourselves to God as we cry. Amen.